Blues fans, for almost 2 years, you have listened and supported your favorite podcast. Now it's time to get loud and get ready to make some noise tonight, because it's time for the Chirp Podcast.
And we're back. I'm back. Let's go. Episode 32 of the Chirp Podcast. Cal's on the mic. Toss it over to Mark. Mark, how we doing?
Oh, you know, I've been better, but I'm here. I'm back with the boys for the Chirp Pod. We're back and going, and we're buzzing again. We're trying to get back to a weekly vibe here, and yeah, it's good to be back.
Sammy K, how's life treating you, kid?
What's up, boys? Hell yeah. Glad to be back. We're back in the groove, back in the action.
For real this time.
We are for real, and you know what? It feels good.
I'm for real.
Hope you guys have been doing well out there, you know, staying healthy, enjoying your holidays and whatnot. Ready to talk some hockey for sure.
Anybody pick up on my reference there? I'm for real.
What is that from? I know I've heard it, but...
Now, D Nice.
Oh, now D Nice.
No, it's...
It's D Nice. He says D Nice.
Jack Quellen.
Principal O'Shaughnessy's office.
If one of y'all
Shag Hennessy
says
O'Shag
some silly ass name.
Now D Nice.
Feel my wrath. Now D Nice. Yeah, that's
back
what
to
I was
me.
Going for.
Yeah, back right. to me.
That's where I was going with it. But yeah. Anyways, obviously this is episode 32, so tough time to start it now, but better late than never. We are going to start it. I'll explain it after we do it. Are we ready, boys? Three.
Yes, indeed.
Two, one, Chris
Dale Hunter.
Dale Hunter, holy fuck, let's go.
Chris Porter.
Kari Lehtinen.
Not even Jonathan Quick. No one wants to toss that out there.
No, right. I don't know why Kari came in my head first, but he did.
Anyways, that is, obviously we just named somebody who wore 32 at some point in their career. I kept it classy, went the Blues route. Had to. Chris Porter.
CPR
fucking
line.
Paint bodies. Chris Porter put people through glass. Chris Porter worked hard. Chris Porter on a line with a name. That means he's good. Isn't that right?
I mean, yeah,
you're on a line with a name. I mean.
Means you're doing something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, most of today's show is actually not going to be a whole lot of us talking. Well, I mean, we're going to be talking, but, you know, it'll be
fan-driven episode.
Yeah, we had three fans, if you will. I mean, they're all fans,
followers,
but they're obviously also you know, just fucking normal people. Obviously, it's like, you know, just three of us on, pretty much.
We're a pod of the people, you know, and trying to bring a little
bit. People's pod.
It's all separate, so we lead it off with, well, I don't want to get into it yet, because I'll intro them as we do them. But, yeah, we got Hayden with STL Sports Central. On Twitter and Instagram, pretty solid Instagram following. Got to give the kid credit, and Twitter, but Instagram obviously is way more. But yeah, we sat down with him for a little bit and got his thoughts on this offseason. Obviously, all of it's going to be on the offseason. So without further ado, let's just get into our conversation with Hayden and how he's feeling about the old St. Louis Blues coming up. All right, we are now with Hayden of STL Sports Central, looking to just kind of get his thoughts. Maybe we can agree or disagree, who knows? But first off, what do you think of the offseason so far with the Blues? Hoffman, Krug, Dunn, maybe? We don't know yet, hopefully.
Apparently those talks
10, 1 to 10, what do you got a 1 to 10 score for this offseason?
You have to give them a 7 or an 8 because... They had to sign Krug because they could not be left out and just be screwed over if Petrangelo signed elsewhere. So that was a must-do to sign a really solid defenseman in case the captain leaves. And then Hoffman, he has such great upside that I don't think there's any way you can call that signing anything but a win. But
what about his wife, bro?
What about his wife?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Jesus. It's such a like a bullshit argument, but like that we keep seeing all over Twitter. Just like,
wait, what happened?
Oh, you haven't seen this shit, bro?
Oh, I'm Googling right now.
Okay.
This is not recently at all.
It was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Superior Court. Is that like Canada's Supreme Court?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Gotta be.
Yeah, so there was...
Long story short, his wife was accused by Eric Carlson's wife, and they were both on the Senators. Here's the problem, though. It never went anywhere. So, like, they tried to get a restraining order against him, which apparently...
Wait, Carlson from what I, said something?
No. Hoffman's wife said it. Hoffman didn't do anything. Hoffman's fiance at the time, now wife, said it to Carlson's wife. So, I mean, the guys aren't involved in it, but you're associated, obviously. So, I mean, they tried to get a restraining order against the Hoffmans. It went nowhere in Canada. The judge threw it out. There wasn't enough evidence. And I was listening to the Cam and Strick podcast yesterday, and Andy said that everyone on the Sharks, when they played this, the Panthers or this, I don't know if Hoffman had moved. Yeah, they moved in the same offseason, didn't they? I don't remember. Whenever Carlson played against Hoffman for the first time since all the bullshit went down, like all the Sharks players were saying that like Hoffman was skating with like a fucking like all beady eyed and wanted to kill Carlson. And Carlson was like all laid back and calm as can be and like couldn't give a shit less.
Really?
But obviously, if we're thinking about this on the same wavelength, if somebody said that to your wife about, hey, I'm, you know, your unborn child is dead, like you would think you'd want to kick that guy's fucking ass. But they said he was just calm as can be, like, and Hoffman was the one that was trying to fucking like go him and shit.
I don't know. It's a fucked up subject, and like Keller, they never went anywhere. And then being that this situation happened with Hoffman's wife and everything like that, the Twitter is just trying to spew the fact that this guy's a locker room cancer and a horrible guy to be around. Which, how the fuck do you know? You're not in the room. You don't know this. You don't know anything. You're just reading what the media tells you. There's no way to know if this guy's a shitty guy or not. But I mean, we've wanted Mike Hoffman for what, 3 years now? I think
the team has. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And us, but.
Yeah. Oh, we have wanted Mike Hoffman.
Yeah. So you're saying 7 or 8? 7 or 8? I don't hate that. I'd probably give it around there too. What do you think about the reverse retros? They're very polarizing. Obviously, most teams are very polarizing. You either love them or hate them. I mean, I think that's kind of the point of them.
I like them, but I definitely prefer the actual retros. I don't think why they needed to add something else. They should have just wore the actual retros more. I don't know why they need to keep on adding stuff to get more money. And then
that's what it is. I think the NHL is just trying to get money back from them.
And now they're doing the ads on the helmets and all that.
Trying to reach
not every cent. Somehow, yeah.
I will say, being that we're on the topic of reverse retros, I was so indifferent on them. I did not like them. Clearly, I told Mark.
You're not a fan of them.
Did not like them. I thought the jersey concept itself was cool, you know, like how NBA.
The red,
cool
I think the red jerseys. Just didn't play, right?
Yeah, the red just doesn't correlate properly with the blues, in my opinion. And then Christmas morning, Ryan O'Reilly on the back of a retro, reverse retro J for Sam. Are you kidding me? I was all about it. And so now my opinion has flopped. It is a unbelievable jersey. I don't know how I'm going to think of it like on the ice because like, we're still the Blues, and we're gonna be wearing red. But now I just think it's unreal. And so
this kid gets a Ryan or gets Ryan O'Reilly.
You think that means we're gonna have red helmets?
He likes it. Oh, red helmet? That'd be weird, bro.
I can't do red helmets. I'm not doing it.
No.
What do you think about the other reverse retros? Like the other squads around the league, and what are some of your favorites?
Honestly, it's been so long since I've looked at them, but I think off the top of my head, the Stars either had a really good one or a really bad one. I can't remember.
Wasn't there's the white one?
They have two. They have two new jerseys now, though. They have like that neon.
Yeah, dude.
That's terrible. But their reverse retro, I think, was all white.
Yeah, with a little bit of like a silver tint to it. Those got some style. Those aren't bad at all.
Oh, couple I like bets. The Coyotes.
Yeah.
I like the Coyote logo. Yes. So cool. The desert like on the bottom.
Yeah.
That's the Avs, of course, had a good one too, because why wouldn't they?
Yeah, how about the Flyers? Jeez.
Those are horrible.
Miserable. And if you know, I'm a Flyers guy on the side, and those reverse retro Jays are
miserable. Well, it looks like you're trying to throw it back to Eric Lindros, but I mean,
it's in horrible. A horrible way. Yeah.
What? I mean, obviously, you only have a few moves to pick from here, but what's it? What if you had to pick one favorite thing that we've done in the offseason?
Definitely, like I said, signing Torey Krug, because they'll be left out and just screwed if they didn't sign someone like him to kind of help take over if Pietrangelo were to leave. So they kind of like hedged their bets by signing him, making sure they weren't left out with nobody this offseason to take over for Pietrangelo if he left.
What do you mean? You don't want Marco Scandella running our power play?
Oh, my God.
It depends. It depends how many rings he wins.
It's about that being guy can proactive. Lead by penalty kill. In the free agency market, knowing Pietrangelo has a good chance to leave, you got to go out and be proactive with the free agency signings. And if you don't, it's too late. Someone else is already either talking to him or picking him up kind of thing. So.
And then we're left with our dick in our hands. Just, exactly. Yeah, it's not good.
Exactly like you're saying. Yeah.
With the Pietrangelo situation, I don't even know like what to believe, because there's so many reports by so many people about how the negotiations went and like who was in the wrong.
I really don't think it got that personal. I think it was just came to a stalemate, so they both moved on. That's kind of how I feel.
It's a business.
Yeah, and media tries to spew whatever stories they can try to get their hands on.
I'm sure for a few days he kind of felt a little betrayed, but. I mean, he's old enough. He's been in the league long enough.
All sources have their motivation. Like, I've had a source, and he was, like, friends with – he was, like, on the player's side. So he would always tell me information that would only, like, benefit the players. So you have to take whatever you hear with a grain of salt if you have any sources.
Oh, definitely.
Especially when it's about, like, this captain leaving. Like,
that just won us our first Stanley Cup, Yeah, you can. Yeah, those kind of sources. They can say like, "I'm as unbiased as they come." Everybody's got some grain of bias. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you were really unbiased, so you had to lunch with them last week. You fucking loser! Like, yeah. on the flip side of that, what's the biggest gripe of the offseason? If you had to pick something, I mean, obviously you didn't give it a perfect 10. There's something you didn't like about it.
Well, there's not anything I didn't like. It's just that I would have liked. Maybe a better, more moves to maybe shake up the roster, because I feel like they need some pizzazz to get them going after losing their captain.
A little more scoring, like, or
I don't know, just like an it factor, like because with Tarasenko out and then Bennington not being the best to close out last season, you kind of need somebody. But the Blues kind of got
a light of fire with Sammy there. He's on the same wavelength there with Bennington.
It's a make or break year for him. Last year of his deal.
Yeah. Well, title bridge deal for a reason.
I think we got a couple new pieces in. You know, there's a couple guys on the current roster that are kind of in their last chance sort of year right now. If you're looking at guys like we just said, Bennington, and even Scotty and I were talking the other day, like this is kind of Kyrou's last chance as well, you know? We've given him opportunities. We've put him with our best players, and we kind of know what he is. If he's not going to take that step, you almost have to, like, just.
I'll say this about Kyrou. From the second we drafted him, I was fired up about him because, I mean, he's gross. He's very highly skilled, unbelievable skater.
He's an OHL MVP,
and whatnot. I never, in the back of my mind, ever saw him playing for the Blues. It just never made sense in my head because we've never had a player like that. And if we did, they were gone. Like, they never panned out here. I'd say the closest guy we've had to him, not even really, is like a Perron or an Oshie, but they're not the skaters that he is. So it's like...
No, they got way more grit than Kyrou does.
Yeah.
What our brand as a team has always been is just beating the shit out of teams until they can't skate anymore.
Yeah, so we drew the West Division, you know, all the Cali teams, Colorado, Arizona. How you feel about that? Obviously, young guy like us. Probably not. I mean, obviously, you'd rather watch a hockey game at 7 than 9, but late starts probably aren't going to bother you too much, are they?
Well, because of the late starts, I actually left my job to go for it. So
that's classic.
But I'm not looking forward to the late starts because
I mean they're still tough. Well, but you got to battle.
It's just such an inconvenience because it's nice to like watch it right after dinner or during dinner, but it's gonna be so late that like I'm gonna be falling asleep.
It is one of those things. It is one of those things where you can't like go do anything if you're like set on watching the game. You can't be like, oh, I'm gonna go do this.
And I have bad memories because like when I think of like a late game, I think of that game where Bo Meester fell.
Here's a story. I sat down to watch what damn movie Parasite, you know, the Oscar winning movie.
Sammy, I forgot about that. So me and Sammy lived together at Lindenwood last year. And I was watching the game, I'm like, dude, Jay Bobeister literally just fucking died.
Yeah, and I like, just sat down for this movie. It's all in Korean and whatnot. I'm like, what is going on? This movie doesn't make any sense. I have no clue what's happening. Jay Bobeister died. I don't want to be here right now. I had no clue what was going on. It was absolutely horrible. The movie ended up being terrific, by the way. And then I'm leaving there the whole time. I still think Jay Bobeister is like not around anymore. It was the worst news ever. But every time that is brought up, I can't help but to think the emotional toll that it took on me.
You were in shambles. Holy shit.
Shambles. Whole time.
Good whole God. Time. Yeah, I mean, overall, I don't think late starts do kind of blow. But, I mean, the matchups are interesting. We get some Blues versus Petro action.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
What do you feel best about going into this year if you had to boil down to one or two things?
I'm excited to see how, like, overall the team changes under O'Reilly's leadership. Because I feel like, at least to the naked eye, he seems like much more of a natural leader. And he'll, like yell at someone if they're not doing what they're supposed to do. He'll stick up for his teammates more. I don't know what Petrangelo is like behind the scenes, but I think outwardly, O'Reilly seems like much more of a captain figure.
Like what you see on the ice. Guy works hard. Yeah. Battles
always late at practice.
Yeah, he's always staying after. Yeah. He's already leading practices. It's fucking on. He's on the whiteboard.
Yeah, shit. I don't know if it's gonna be. I think the change we're gonna see. The team's already pretty close, as anybody can tell. But like, I think the biggest change you're gonna see is in the face of adversity. I don't think there's going to be, like, visibly you're not going to be able to see the biggest difference. I think it's going to be all behind the scenes. So, not that, you know, Petro's a bad captain or anything, but I just think that with the way O'Reilly is as a person, as we can deduce from, you know, his actions, I think that that's what's going to change the most. All right, last thing here. Obviously everything's not perfect, and I think you maybe have probably touched on your answer already. What's your biggest worry going into this year?
Just if
we don't make the playoffs, why continue? Would it be?
If they make the playoffs, it'll be either injuries or Bennington continuing his struggles from last year.
I think he's a guy that actually feeds off full buildings. So this emptiness, I don't know. We could see. He's just kind of one of those guys that I think in the biggest moments, he's his best. And
yeah.
I see him stepping back up in a very big way. Just, I mean, if you look at his year last year, it wasn't like the super power, the best goalie on the planet type year that he had when we won the cup. Like, this guy couldn't be touched. But I mean, throughout the course of the regular season, he was still solid. He had like a mid nine ten save percentage. It's just a bubble. He was miserable, absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I heard And Jeremy Rutherford asked Bennington questions, and he said he hated the bubble, Bennington. So that probably explains a lot of his struggles. Maybe.
And I mean, every one of those out of the bubble experience for the Blues, I mean, they were all terrible.
Well, yeah, the NBA is at Disney World, and they're in some random hotel.
Exactly. Yeah, they're in just a bumfuck hotel in Edmonton, just chilling.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
caged up with fences.
Yeah, exactly. It's brutal. We'll just have to see what happens. I think the guy's going to bounce back in a big way. But injuries,
I do too. I'm just saying, if they do struggle,
that's definitely going to be because, I mean, we don't have Jake Allen anymore. Ville Husso's right behind him. So we got to hope that kid can prove something in the number two role, just in case things do kind of fall through with Bennington. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yep. All right. Before we get you out of here, what's your prediction for this year? How's it gonna, where's the season end for us?
Well, last year before everything got shut down, the Blues were like on an 8-game winning streak and like first or second in the conference.
First by a point, first, I think.
Okay. We were right there.
Avalanche were right behind. But I think if they can continue what they did last year and there's no like issues with like their experience this year, like I see no reason why they can't win another Stanley Cup. It's just going to come down to health and Binnington being who Binnington is.
I agree. I don't think scoring will be an issue this year. And
yeah. Your goalie is a product of how you play defensively. So if those guys on the back end can step up, you gotta think Binnington's going to step up as well, right?
Yep.
All right. The realignment's going to be interesting, just with the different kind of year we got coming our way, but it's going to be fun.
All right, man. Well, we'll get you out of here. Thanks for hopping on. We'll have it out tomorrow. So
enjoy chopping it up, brother.
Yeah.
See you. Appreciate you, Hayden. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, no I hope you get your PS5 unscathed.
Yeah. It's cool.
All right, brother.
All right, man.
Peace.
Later, big dog.
We obviously want to take some time to thank Hayden for coming on. Obviously, if for some reason you don't follow him already, I'm sure you do if you're a follower of our show and Twitter account. But give STL Sports Central a follow, of course. We thank Hayden for coming on. I know he's looking forward to the Blues. But our next guest that we talked to, Mr. Cole Mudra, in the running for number one Chirp follower, fan, whatever you want to call it. He's in the running for it. Jared Molesky, I know you're listening. It's self-claimed at this point. He awarded himself.
But, I mean, hey, he makes a good case for it. He's the one pushing us to fucking, hey, I want another Chirp pod. I do. I need it.
Okay. Well.
Fair.
I love it.
I agree. We need to get him on, but for our next fan show.
Time. Oh, boy.
Anyways, Mr. Cole Mudra, also a big time forward for the Maryvale Saints D1 program. So he's got a guy kind of knows what he's doing on a sheet of ice. So we caught up with him a little bit, and here he is, Mr. Cole Mudra. We're here now with Mr. Cole Mudra, one of the top Chirp followers. Is that a fact? Would you like that crown?
Yeah, I would.
All right, there it is.
Good deal.
It's yours.
It's been given the crown.
I like it. I might as well put it in my bio.
You might as well.
Well, one of Marky's buddies is going to battle you for that because I believe he has that in his bio already.
Oh, he's like a Chirp enforcer or something like that is what he put in there.
As if I'm not already here. Come on.
All right. Well, first thing, just off season. Obviously, it's pretty much come to a close. Besides Vince Dunn, which 1 to 10, what do you think rating?
I mean, with what we were given, I think it's like a 9. I'd give it a 9. I mean, especially with that Hoffman news. I mean, that and how like Doug Armstrong like played that well with doing the PTO and just waiting until he can get Steen and Terry on the long term IR. To like sign him up, and what who was saying that he was gonna was it Strickland? Was he saying that the 3.5 to 4.5?
He said 4, I think, even. Yeah.
But still, yeah. Like Hoffman to that, like
he's an automatic 25.
He was looking for 6.5, like in a 5-year contract, and he's gonna do that. And I mean, if he puts up like he does in the Panthers, I mean, Blues are gonna be playing with Colorado like it's nothing.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be sick.
It's gonna be sick when we get I don't know, Vladdy's supposed to be back like a month or two into the season.
Yeah,
I almost wouldn't hate if he waited until the playoffs.
Look at Kucherov with the Lightning.
Yeah. Just wait till you're fucking healthy.
Clearly didn't work the last time.
Yeah, it's gonna be the Lightning and the Blues are probably gonna play the same with we're just waiting with Tarasenko because I mean we already did with Outam last year, so yeah.
I don't know, it's selfish thinking as a fan because it's for the money purposes. When the playoffs come, the cap doesn't matter, so we could have everybody in the lineup. We wouldn't have to move somebody to make room for Tarasenko in the middle of the season. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But
I just hope Tarasenko just back like comes back to what he can be, because I mean, you saw him in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh my God.
We haven't seen him play like that since then. And that's like almost 2 years now. So like, he needs to get back in and get that confidence back, because like you saw that like game that, I mean, against the Kings where he tore his labrum. You just could see it. He wasn't feeling it. He wasn't himself.
Yeah, because like, dude, that kid, the like Tank, like part of his game is activating in corners, making contact with guys, getting greasy a little bit.
Power
like,
forward.
Yeah, he's a power forward. And I mean, you saw that in the playoffs. He's shying away from shit. That's like not how he plays. So mm-hmm. He was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. The greatest play he probably did was that pass to Braden Schenn for the third goal in the game seven. Like that, he literally like he chipped it down low, worked it low, and then got it up to the high slot right to Schenn. That's 3-0.
Yeah, that's his game.
We've said this before. Tarasenko, very underrated passer.
Yeah,
very
underrated. Yeah, he really is.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But the Blues did a great job this offseason. And I mean, when they get Dunn locked up and Hoffman hopefully locks up, I mean, that Blues look, they're right there with the Colorado Avalanche in the West.
All I've heard about is Vegas and Colorado in the
offseason. Vegas dealing with so much cap. I don't care, Pietrangelo.
They're still going to have to make a move.
Yeah.
You already know how I feel about Pietrangelo. He's already going on the downtick. I'm sorry. Last year.
He's done.
You and Sammy will get along real nice.
Sammy are best friends then. Sammy's on the same wavelength.
I mean, I don't disagree with that, though. I don't disagree with that, though. Like, I mean, he's going to decline. He's 31.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural fucking way it goes.
But they're expecting so much from him, too.
Yeah. We got to talk about these jerseys. What do you think about these reverse retros?
I really like them. I really, really like them. But, like, I just feel like...
Do you think it's a red bucket or a blue bucket? I mean,
It could be a mixture. It could be like, I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
Like a strap?
I was thinking like the right here. Like just the ear. Like the
The ear.
Oh, yeah. The fucking ear clip thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'd be blue and then that's red because the red's like right up the shoulder.
Yeah.
You're like blue bucket, red cage?
Blue bucket, red cage? Why not?
Chrome cage.
Yeah, that's true. I like the jerseys. I mean, you're not going to beat the Buffalo Sabres, the Avalanche. I mean, the Canadians have like those jerseys.
They're
I love
clean.
The jerseys. They look amazing. For everybody trashing on the Ducks jersey, I think those look great. For like I know people have been saying it looks like a little kid did it. I'm like, man, I mean, that looks just sick for an NHL team to have.
Yeah, it's something different.
The point of it was to have fun. Like it's outside of the obvious fact that the NHL needs money.
But yeah, sure.
They all look great and they look fun and cool and stuff, but I mean you might think something completely different, like whenever they actually take the ice, they can look completely different.
Oh,
like, they might be like a huge turn on the ice, or maybe like it's like, damn, I thought these looked really good when they first came out, but they just don't look good on the ice. Like, not like an NHL team should be wearing those, like a junior team or something.
Yeah. I was also thinking, like, maybe if we go to, like, Anaheim, they wear their retros, and then the Blues wear the Reds.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about, like, in the Kings and stuff like that, thinking about going over to those teams and playing
those. Fucking fun with it, yeah. Fucking throw them both on.
I mean, they already have a Canadian division. I mean, we're already getting 10 games of Battle of Alberta, so, I mean, crap.
That's going to be must-watch TV. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
But the only team that didn't have fun with the jerseys is Detroit. That's a practice jersey. That's a
It looks like what they did for the Winter Classic and like with the big D, with the huge D.
Yeah.
What about the Islanders? They just gave up. They just like said, we're not turning in anything. Here's our jersey with like a different shade of blue.
They were the biggest letdown.
Oh, easily. No fishermen?
I don't know why they didn't do that. I don't know why they didn't
do
that.
So bad.
It's a top four logo in NHL history.
Yeah.
And you just don't use it. This is like, this was your chance to use it. Like, all right, I understand it. If you don't want to like have that be your third jersey, I get it. But like this jersey,
but
fucking do whatever you want with it. And you do that.
I don't think it's that surprising that yours sucks. I don't think it's that surprising because Lou Lamoriello runs.
I know. I was going to say it's
a bland jersey for a bland manager.
So I got a question for y'all. What are your opinions on the Blackhawks now that Doc and Taves are going to be out.
They're going to probably be looking at the first or second overall pick. I was listening to a podcast say, I think Carl Soderberg, who just signed this past week, is in line to be their number one center on opening night.
It's him and
Strome. Are you for real?
It's him
and Strome. I'm dead serious. Yeah. Him and Linus Wallmark.
He was the third line center in Colorado.
Jesus Christ, that's a goalie.
Fuck,
what's his name?
I mean, Dylan Strome's the one.
Olmark.
Olmark.
Yeah.
Olmark's the goalie. Wallmark
is the skater.
Yeah, Yeah.
He is their second center.
What about the
Dylan Strome has not been signed.
Brinksy's a wing.
I know, but still, they
he can. Play
I mean,
center.
He's gonna have to play center. I don't care if you're a winger, bud. Patrick Kane's gonna be playing center here soon.
Did he play center for a little bit? He's always been wing.
Kaner?
Yeah,
I'm sure he's always been on the wing because him and Taze are in at the same time. They probably
He's always been wing.
All right.
Sammy, what would you think about that? I saw a little bit of it on Twitter, like just some fake scenarios of Kaner going to Buffalo.
Chill. I mean.
That'd be kind of sick.
I mean, it's a pipe dream, absolutely, but let's get real.
Why would Buffalo ever make that move?
Could you realistically see Patrick Kane letting his team stoop down to that level?
No.
Where they actually have a chance to get the first or second overall
pick? 75 points, I bet you he has.
Oh, easy.
Bet you he has 75 points this year.
Well over point per game. He's going to be a missile.
Easily. He's going to be the Connor McDavid for them. Like, it's just going to be Patrick Kane show the whole time. It's going to be the Kane show.
He'll be ripping pucks off Ryan Carpenter's skates, and he's getting an apple out of it. He's like, hey, boss, I can't score every goal, so I'm just going to shoot it off your skates, bud.
Yeah,
that works. That. Well, I mean, they got Buffalo. You know, they picked up Taylor Hall, a little bit of a trying to win kind of situation. You never know.
Hey, it's a one-year deal.
Sleeper team, Ottawa.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's pandering.
Ottawa is the sleeper.
That's like, Keller's squad.
They did so well in the – I think probably had the best offseason besides, I think, Montreal.
Montreal was going to be my counterpoint. They're going to be good, dude.
That Canadian division is going to be so close.
Yeah.
I get – it's so fun watching that on NHL Network late at night and shit like that.
Did you guys see the Leafs, I think, are favored to win the Canadian division by a lot? As if, like, the Canucks got any worse, which, like, they might have,
I mean, they
like,
got
a little depth.
They don't have Markstrom anymore.
But the Flames have Markstrom, and he's from the, the Flames
and
have Markstrom now. Yeah.
They picked up
Tanev. Montreal is scary, too, man. Toffoli, Perry.
You don't know what that is, though. It's this was set up for the Leafs to succeed, and they're gonna flop. I'll put a lot of money on that too.
Yeah.
Not saying they're gonna miss the playoffs or anything, but this is set up for them to be playing in a conference final.
Yeah, seriously, seriously.
Yeah, they say they still got to go through McDavid.
Toronto bias.
It's always gonna be there.
What a kind of spin it back to the Blues just for a little bit.
Yeah.
Favorite move of the offseason. Obviously there's a few to pick from, but also biggest gripe of the offseason. Nine, so you're probably gonna get a little picky here, but
I mean, you know me. I mean, I really thought picking up Kyle Clifford was smart. It really solidifies our fourth line. I mean, if you look at that, you've got probably the greasiest, like, I mean, Kyle Clifford, he won two cups with the freaking Kings.
Yep. Guys gonna win.
And he was like, he was a 50 point, wasn't he a 50 point guy at one point?
He might have been. I don't know.
He was good. I remember we would always play him. He would always, him and Jeff Carter would always light us up. And Dustin Brown. Him and Dustin Brown.
That's what you're probably thinking of at the points is fucking Dustin Brown. That fuckhead literally ate us. Him and Jeff Carter. And we haven't even brought up Anze Kopitar.
Yeah.
If you've never seen Kyle Clifford play hockey before and you just looked at him in the face that he has today, you would be like, this guy would play really well with Ivan Barbashev and Oscar Sundin.
Seriously.
He looks like a raccoon. Yeah. He fulfills the missing teeth requirement that you have to play on that line.
And the biggest gripe that I think is going on.
I know
on,
what this is. Can I guess?
You can guess.
Trading Jake Allen.
It has to be.
Here's the thing. I mean, you got Val Husso, who is like he is I bet you if we give him a chance, he can be a solid backup.
Yeah.
But definitely.
The only two issues that I have with the Blues right now is the third pairing of D is who actually is on there. Because I like Gunnarsson. I'm sorry. I love Gunnarsson so much better.
I don't mind him at all.
He plays so well. He plays smart. And that's why he's basically a Ben Lovejoy, chips it off the wall and gets it out.
Yeah.
Ben Lovejoy. Let's go.
Oh, watch your fucking feet, name drop.
And then I think Dunn just dragging it on.
Yeah, I would like to see that just get wrapped up.
How much time did it take you to like realize like you got a year because you didn't really show us last year that you're worth the money? So I mean, you showed us for 2 years that you were good, and then like last year you kind of like little downtick, and then what do you prove to me now?
Yeah, we're losing that guy in expansion.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I definitely
Parayko needs to step up. He was trash in the bubble.
Oh my god, he was miserable. He was so bad. It was
the worst hockey I've ever seen him play.
He was so bad.
Like, I was like, for a guy literally like getting votes for the Conn Smythe and then playing like that, it's like come on, man. Like, I'm not like I can't play like that guy, but still, man.
But outside of 90 and Justin Falk, who played well in
nobody?
Who played well in that Vancouver series?
DP was okay.
I was gonna say Perron was okay.
Yeah,
well, he's on 90s line. He's getting fucking carried.
Yeah.
Schwartz was probably the best at.
Schwartz was good too at times.
He was the one that actually showed energy the whole time. He was the one that kept getting penalties for lifting the sticks of Pettersson and Quinn Hughes and all those guys like
being a nuisance.
He made it. I think he had like 4 penalties or 5 penalties in that round, and he's never like that. He never gets.
Yeah, literally never. Yeah.
Oh.
But he's been our Energizer Bunny since we've had him, I guess you could say. Now? Just the guy who just works on the wall. You hate to play against him, love to have him on your team. Kind of guy.
So, how do you feel about the West? The West division. I feel like we kind of lucked out here in terms of opposition. But the late starts could suck, but you know what? You got to battle.
I think the West fucked Arizona. Or basically, it's going to be Vegas, Colorado, and the Blues just dummying.
Yeah.
The Sharks, the Kings, the Ducks, and the Coyotes. It's literally going to be. They're gonna test us because they're going to be trap games most of the time. But I think that's going to like that mentality is going to keep the Blues on.
Yeah. So, what is there possible? 112 points.
I believe
we're just gonna get to the end of the year and it's gonna be us, Vegas, and Colorado with like I don't know 80 points,
yeah,
70 80 points, and everybody else is like 36 and it's like cool.
Yeah, you have Anaheim Anaheim, LA, San Jose just chilling at the bottom.
I want to know what if Detroit finished in the 20s this past year. I want to say maybe 31 ish. Like, what would that team get this year in points? 10?
Well, you got to think they're playing the Blackhawks. They're playing the Blackhawks.
I'm just saying, if for some reason last year ended at 56 games, like that team, because they did get better.
Yeah.
They're not that much better, but they got better. I mean, 10 points might be it. 15.
Oh my, that's such a good point. Holy fuck. I didn't even think about that. Like how bad they were, man.
If you probably did the math, they probably only had like 21 points.
I mean, they won 17 games. That was it.
34 points in counting OT losses, which I'm sure there wasn't too many of them.
That is just, oh my God.
I didn't even think about that. That's
so bad.
What's the worst record ever? Isn't that by the Capitals? Weren't they like 7 and like.
Probably. I think it was the year they got Ovechkin. They were fucking horrible.
They were good in the early 2000s, though. When they had...
Goalie the goalie? Olaf Koltig?
Yeah. They used to be good during that time.
When the 74-75 Capitals went 8-67.
Yeah. So that's the worst record?
So same team, but we're a couple years off for sure.
Wow. Wow. Oh my God,
that's not great. That's
No.
That's 21 points. 860 something and 5.
And that's 21. Right. What season was that?
The 74 caps. So oh, not no. Obi's year, unless I missed something. I mean,
he does look 60, but
yeah.
That's when crossing sausages and drinking Dr. Pepper on the bench.
Yeah. That shit is fucking so
ripping
wild,
the
dude.
Gas. What's you got, I don't know, maybe two more things here. What with the best, the thing that you feel the best about going into the season? Why, if you had to pick, let me rephrase this, one reason why we win the cup.
Our just like our defensive play up front. Like our forward, we probably have the deepest like defensive forwards. If you look at those top three lines, I mean, you got O'Reilly, and then you got Shen,
and then you got Thomas,
and you got Bozak, Barbashev, Sunquist. Those are all defensive offensive players. Like if and like from the last 2 years, getting out of the zone is not a problem for the Blues.
No, the breakout's always been really solid.
Yeah, breakout.
Oh, do you think that's going to get worse with Torrey Krug back there? I don't think.
Oh, that's
so. I'm not saying that. I'm just rhetorically saying
yeah.
that.
Yeah, the only issue that I have is the third pair of D. That's the only issue I have. Other than that, like the Blues and our goal, I just want Bennington to play like he did in the playoffs. He played like he did in the playoffs because the Blues didn't give him any help. If he played like he did in the playoffs with a little bit more help, like I mean, he's like in the top five, top ten.
I will say, if the biggest worry is your third defensive pairing, you got to be in a good spot, right?
Yeah.
Come on. Absolutely. Like, those guys are going to see 7 minutes, maybe.
I want Gunnarsson to play up. I was thinking Falk and Gunnarsson, because Gunny's a lefty, and then Falk's a righty, and then you put Scandella and Borch together.
That'd be a heavy ass line.
That's yeah, what I'm hearing. Third pair of D.
I have a weird Borch feeling. Lineup,
I mean, 5-on-5 ice time is hard to come by for the guy because he's playing 5 minutes a night on the penalty kill, which is fine where he should.
Dude, he ate Obi's breakfast.
Oh my god, he loves it. Why do you? Why he has my fucking Ischel name for so long? You guys just blocked everything.
Man. So yeah, that was the other question. Was biggest worry about the season? I guess is our defensive. So you're saying you want Dunn out of the lineup, correct?
Yeah, I don't really like how he played.
If we just traded his rights, like right now, you'd fucking do.
What do you think we would get for him?
Nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Cash like for a sixth,
yeah,
maybe.
Just his rights. Nothing. We'd have to sign him, then move him to actually get something.
Like a sixth or a seventh round pick, probably.
Yeah, so we got Mikula, and then we got what was the guy's Perubic, name?
Scotty P, Perubic, baby.
Dude, those two guys coming up. I mean, you give him 2-3 years. Oh my lord.
Scotty P's gonna be nasty. He's gonna be running our second power play.
You want Hobie, right? You want the Hobie, right?
Yeah. It's been kind of nice. Torrey Krug running PP1, Scotty P running PP2. I don't hate it.
Give me a little taste of Justin Falk in there as well while we're at it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely toss him in there.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. Not a lot.
And if plays he like comes back mid, still rocking the mustache that he currently has,
he probably
he
will.
Might not lose a game.
Sign us up for 112 points. Thank you, Kevin.
Just because of the muzzy.
Sweep the playoffs. Okay, so who wins? Who wins the Canadian division? Who wins the East? Who wins the South? And who wins the West?
It's good questions here.
And then Cal's, and then Sam, you go last.
I'm going Calgary. I'm
okay.
Going
right
up. Oh, you're going first? All right. Oh, fuck me.
Yeah.
I was going to say Calgary, dude.
I'm going Calgary. I'm going St. Louis. I'm going – I still think Tampa will win, even though I think Columbus could give us some problems. And I'm going – yeah, that's it. That's four, right?
Not East.
That was three. Oh,
East. Fuck, dude, this division's tough. You know, Big Z to Washington.
I saw that. I was
give it
like,
to him. Give it to him.
I'm not giving it to the Caps. I'm not giving it to the Caps.
You got
so.
To.
It's a three-team race in that one, in my opinion.
I think I won't go through all the divisions because here's why. I don't know all the divisions. I will say the West division, I could see in a 3 or 4 months from now, Vegas somehow winning the West. Okay, hear me out. And everyone's like, oh, Petro is just the best defenseman ever. And then they're like a first round exit. And then just like the whole narrative of him being like the best free agent signing ever just goes straight out the window. I could see that happening, or I could see the Blues just absolutely running train and just having their way with the West, like with the entire West division. I don't think Colorado's going to be able to hold up with the Blues. I'm sorry. We're too much for them.
They picked up Taves.
Yeah, they did. That's a nice. That was a nice.
Devon Taves. Yeah, he's gross.
Devon Taves. Dude, he is.
Going.
That's a
I'm they going.
They're back in. They don't have a goalie. They don't have
I'm
a goalie.
Doing it. I got on them in the playoffs. I'm picking the New York Islanders to win the.
All right. Fair enough.
But they lost Devon Taves though.
They don't even have Matt Barzal on their roster right now, and I just picked them. Change. They got Anthony Beauvillier.
They lost their best player, Derek Brassard.
Yeah, he's a Coyote guy now.
Yeah, I didn't know you signed with the. Okay.
The Sens are gross though. Keep an eye out, Derek Stepan.
Yeah, they look really
he's
good.
He's not that good anymore, but like he's.
Can the Sens be viable enough to kind of squeak in?
They're
the
not
going to
take last. I'll bet anybody in this fucking Zoom call right now they will not take last.
They're not going to take last. No way. The Jets are taking last. I think the Jets
are taking last.
Probably the Jets, yeah. It's Kyle Hellebuyck. That's our whole
thing. They're horrible.
So bad for them. They went from being in the Western Conference Finals to literally probably being like the worst team in the North.
Yeah.
It was like, the Andrew Ladd effect, bro.
And Bufflin. They had Kevin Hayes, and they literally just let him go to freaking Philly.
Ah. But
I got Philly.
He wasn't that good, though, with Winnipeg.
Yeah, you're right.
With Winnipeg, yeah, he wasn't,
Philly.
Yeah.
So Philly's good, worth, yeah.
Yeah, gross.
He's worth seven. But I say Philly. I say Lightning. I know it's going to sound bad, but I think the Avs are pretty good, so I think they might win.
That's
but
okay.
Then,
we're built for the playoffs. They're not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think the Blues will win the playoffs just because Colorado's going to be going against shitty teams. That's the only reason why that. Like, I think that they'll do that. So, and then I think
that Canadian division is hard, man.
Ottawa.
Whoa!
Let's
really?
Go.
Ottawa.
Oh my God.
We're going to need Thomas Chabot rocking 32 a night for that to happen.
When they picked up Darius Stefan, I was like, and then they picked Andre Picard from the Lightning. I mean, they just got good within the past week.
Paquette and Shen?
Matt Murray, baby.
Yeah, Matt Murray and that.
And they they look good. They look
Tim Stutzley.
And they got picked up. And they got, who's the really good defense?
Tim Stutzel. Tim Stutzel is currently playing World Juniors for Germany.
Dominating.
And he's going to be gross.
Who's the guy in
the other day?
Who's the rookie on the? Who's like Chabot. The young guy?
No, Brännström.
The back end. He's the D. He just signed like.
Jake Sanderson. Jake Sanderson plays college, but he just got drafted.
We
got
to be thinking of Thomas Chabot, right?
Yeah, Chabot.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, in order for the Sens to somehow come out and win the Canadian division, he has to rock like 35 a night. There's no other option.
He did last year for
like
half the
year.
He's
gonna have to like up that shit.
He's on a 7.25, I think, deal with them. Like
he's nasty.
Steal.
He's absolutely a steal. Yeah.
Yeah, and they sign him young. They sign him off as entry level. They also got Brady Tkachuk.
It's a good hockey team. It's for damn sure. They're going to be middle of the pack in that Canadian division.
Did they name a captain?
Yes. No.
Wait, no. It's going to be Brady, though, I'm pretty sure.
Also,
I saw a leak that
it's Brady. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, there was a leak that
it's
Brady.
Brady? Holy.
There's a leak of him wearing a jersey with a C on it, with his number.
Yeah. I can see him to be in it. He's more like his dad than Matthew is.
I mean, Matt said it himself that if they got in a fight, Brady would dummy him. Yeah.
Brady's a
I think man. They're both captain material, Matt and Brady, but
they're both going to be captains.
Absolutely.
Brady is set up to be a captain way sooner.
No, Brad, he's too Brad Marchand-esque. He will only get an A. I don't know if he can ever get a C. That like he's just
who wears it then?
Too much shit.
Who wears it then?
Maybe Sean Monahan.
Monahan.
Okay. He's quiet. Yeah. Keeps to himself. Johnny Gaudreau's going to be on the flyer here soon anyway.
I think it's... Wait, no. I thought it was Dan Girardi. It's Dan Girardi.
Mark Giordano's who you're thinking of as their cap.
Mark Giordano, yeah.
Dan Girardi.
Like
when's the last time you laced him up?
Literally this offseason.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
He plays?
No, I don't think he plays. No.
Anything else for me, boys?
I gotta get mine. Gotta get my picks.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mine are quick and easy. Go Philly, Tampa. I'm Colorado. I'll pick Colorado at the top. Just our division shit.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of a wash whenever we play each other.
Philip Grubauer. Get him out of my face. If he has to play more often, get him out of my face. He's horrible on a normal schedule. Get him out of my face.
If Edmonton would have made a bigger impact in the goaltending department, that would be my pick for the Canadian division. But Mike Smith,
they don't have a defenseman.
Or that.
Oscar Klefbom's out for the year.
Oh, is he really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Darnell Nurse is literally it.
They signed
They signed a righty though, Tyson Barrie.
Edmonton's gonna be good though. Still, they're not gonna win the fucking division, but they're gonna be good. But I like Calgary too. I like Calgary to win that division as well. Calgary, Colorado, Tampa, Philly. Philly. I mean, they didn't lose anything. They lost Matt Niskanen. But re-upped on our younger guys as well. So I don't know.
It'll be Calgary, somehow Vegas, Tampa, and you got to give it to the Caps. I mean, the Caps.
All right.
They're going for something this year.
I like
the Islanders.
They are old.
They're old, dude. But who cares? Old teams are
fucking
gritty.
The Bruins haven't been young the last few years.
Here's my hot take for the East. Okay. New York Rangers will have more points than the Boston Bruins.
The Bruins are old.
I know. They're old. And they lost.
And they don't have a captain.
And they lost Krug and they lost Chara. Like, Rask.
I can't wait for them to name Patrice Bergeron captain for like 2 years. It's going to be fucking horrible.
Because they have no one else. Well, I mean, they have McAvoy. I'd give it to McAvoy.
I mean, he's too young.
You can't give it to McAvoy with Bergeron.
When Patrice Bergeron's on your roster.
I understand that. Yeah, I know. I completely understand that.
Get your ass over here. Put this.
I understand. I'm saying if I had to pick a young guy, that's who I'd pick.
I got
Jake DeBrusque.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Well,
I like DeBrusque, but.
No, Pasta.
Pasta? He can't talk.
Yeah, he can. Dude,
you not see him in that Dunkin' commercial?
Yeah.
Dude, he is a
Pasta's
beauty.
Sad.
All right, buddy.
All right. Good talk to you, Cole.
Appreciate you.
Later, Cole.
Enjoyed that, boys. Have a good night.
Yes, sir. Right, peace.
Obviously, we want to also thank Mr. Cole Mudra for taking. Why do I keep throwing Mr. in front of his name? I feel like it flows.
Cole Mudra
coming in. I don't know if he remembers, but did defeat both of you in high school. So there it is. Sorry. He owned you.
Well, I will say when I was there.
You were a freshman though, weren't you?
I was a freshman and I was healthied one of those games. so you can't say he beat me both times.
No, you can't.
It was just a fluke.
And how many shifts did you get in the other game?
A healthy, like at least two. Come on.
Exactly. He's got to have two at least.
I'm your garbage minutes guy.
What do you mean? Net got off the moorings. I went out, did a twirl, and got back on the bench. Like, that's a shift, isn't it?
Fucking stirred it up a little, eh?
It counts.
Make sure they know I was there.
I had pipe music behind me as he was ringing bar behind my head, so.
Jack's out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that happened more than once to you, old Mark.
Definitely did. It's ice hockey. What do you expect?
Sammy, we actually talked to Michael Davies about that yeah. on our college hockey podcast with him. Do you remember that?
Oh, and Davies on their senior night took a fucking clapper. Ten seconds in, bar down, blue line.
Horrible. Yeah, he
sounds about right.
Sammy might have been in eighth grade, though, at that time.
No, I wasn't there. I wasn't there when he was there.
Yeah, it was tough.
He sucks.
Sounds about right.
Another STL NCAA hockey player. You know, they just grow on trees these days. Anyways, our guy Brandon. I think he deserves that title now. Our guy Brandon.
Ripping
Scotch, ripping World Juniors, just chopping it up with the boys. He's got some flow. I wish some people could have seen it. I mean,
greasy salad.
Yeah, it looked great coming out of a bucket. As we do cover that.
So without further ado. Here is, and I don't know Brandon before this interview, so I'm not going to name drop his last name. I know his last name. I'm not going to say, I don't know. Cole, you know, I know the guy. Whatever. Brandon, here he is, Mr. Brandon.
What up?
Hey, how's it going, man? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How's it going? What's your guys' name?
I'm Brendan, so real similar to you, as yeah. I can tell.
That'll be easy to remember.
I'm Sam. I'm the captain around here.
As he likes it. I'm Marky. What's going on?
All right. Sam, Marky, and Brendan should be easy enough to remember, man.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, bud.
Nice to meet you, too, guys.
How you been?
Been just fine, man. Pretty excited about the season to get started. Been fun watching the World Juniors.
There we go.
It's an okay tournament.
My favorite
just okay. I mean, as long as, whenever you're not getting the blowouts, it's pretty fun.
No, I mean, I don't want to sit there and watch 16-2 either, but we were kind of forced to.
Yeah, it's all hockey we got
right
now.
Just a little bit. It gets rid of, man, just makes those like goal songs get a little bit old pretty quick.
Oh,
it
makes you want to mute the TV.
I know, man, especially whenever you get the same commercials over and over.
Same goal horns, just like, fuck.
Yeah, man, let's just get to a competitive game. I'm excited for this Russia-Sweden game, though. That's going to be
a treat.
It's going to be wagon versus wagon right there. It's going to be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Scotty and I think Sweden's taking it all the way.
Dude, Sweden's
didn't
good.
Lucas Raymond get hurt?
Dude, there are so many good storylines though for Sweden to win it, man. Like, there's like so many good ones.
Hey, bro, did you ever play hockey, Brandon?
Yeah, I did. I played for Twin Bridges Lightning. I don't know if you guys remember them, and I'm also looking to get into a men's league. But I played a lot growing up. I started playing whenever I was 4, and then I always played 2 age groups up, and. I had to go play in my own age group after we got to Bantams because I broke my collarbone. I fractured my ankle. I dislocated my knee. My pinky's forever gimp. Like,
I played Russian roulette and lost, but I came back to life. Yeah.
I dislocated my knee, man. It just kept on going and going. But that was just because I was so small and that was like starting to get into the hitting and slap shots. So
I was going to say, the salad you got on you right now looks fucking pure, bro.
Yeah,
I love it. It looks so good coming out the helmets, man. That's why I gotta get back on the ice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No ear guards, maybe too. Fuck the refs, right? Stick those bitches out.
Yeah, ear guards can't be in there when you got a flow like that.
No way, man. So I played. Hockey's my most passionate sport. I ended up like quitting for a while, and I played Division I tennis at St. Louis University.
Okay.
Yeah, so it went completely the other way for a little bit there, but I've always stayed passionate in the hockey community.
Yeah, right on.
So would you like fuck us up in like ping pong? I'm sure. I'm a big ping pong guy.
Bruh, I don't know, man. Like I can make ping pong look good, but there are some people that are just fucking good.
Dude, ping pong's fun, man.
It is fun, If you can get into those racket sports, you can have some fun.
Oh, it's a great time. Great time.
Yeah, ping pong's always fun until you try to play your dad. Your dad just ends up saucing you. You're like, where'd you get this from? He's like, back in the 80s, I was in the junior college pro division level of
table tennis.
He
calls it table tennis and not
we
ping
took
pong.
Third place.
You really got to call it the right thing.
Yeah, when they call it table tennis, you know you're fucked.
Yeah, oh yeah.
No, I still call it ping pong, so you guys wouldn't be that fucked.
All right, perfect. It's our speed.
So what do you think about the off season so far? The Blues 1 to 10. We've been asking. We had a couple people on before you. 1 to 10. I guess I could let you know what they say after you give us a rating. But what do you think?
The range that pops in my head is between a 7.3 and 7.8 because I'm
The proper ratings.
That's a
I
professional
like
score
Let's
right
call.
There.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna get. I'm not gonna just be like 10. You know, we got fuck that. You know, like no. I'm thinking about it, and it's just like. I mean, there are some players on the table. Who was it? Like Michael Granlund, you know. But like, it's hard to think about how much better they could have done, you know. Because at least in terms of the forwards that were available, I mean, and even like it seems like every news source is saying that the Blues got like you know the cream of the crop in terms of that. I think that why I'm putting that rating lower is just because, even for myself and other fans, I just don't know if we're prepared for like the impact of losing Pietrangelo, if we don't know how big that's going to be. I mean, but we also don't know how big of an impact Torrey Krug is going to have, you know, because it seems like, fuck, man. I mean, like, I feel like we're another contending team, but it's just going to be that Pietrangelo filling that void, Colton Parayko stepping up, hopefully Marco Scandella being, I don't know, a poor man's Jay Bomeister, you know, like Justin Falk is going to have to be better. And if he is, like, I think it'll be pretty good. But I don't know. I think our defense definitely got a little bit worse, but our offense, you know, got a little bit better. And
we're going to be different.
That's where, it's definitely gonna be a different team.
Kind of like what you're saying, Brandon. It's like if you like just losing a captain in general, like it's always tough to any team. Like even if you were playing like Marky and I in like a All-American rec league, you know, like a house league, and like the guy who put together the team is just all of a sudden not there next session.
Feels weird. Like, feels weird.
Yeah, man. It is weird. Yeah, but I
what a comp.
Part of me thinks though that now Parayko, he's made those comments where he's like, you know, now that he knows that Petrangelo's not there, like it's his blue line. And I think that I've always kind of just gotten that passive nature about him, even though he's a huge guy. And so I think that now, you know, like since Petrangelo's not there, I think that passiveness might be able to go away a little bit more, knowing that like, hey, this is my line now, you know. And so I think he's ready to take on that extra role. I think other than that too, and I guess why I'm not getting into the eights is because, I mean, who's going to be our second string goaltender behind Bennington?
Lily Husso.
I don't know how do you guys feel about that?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
I couldn't really tell. I mean, that kid's been he's been kind of up and down in the AHL. He had a really good year last year, but I remember, oh man, when we were first starting to get this podcast off the ground, we had a little segment called Down on the Farm. We used to check in with how our AHL guys were doing, and oh boy.
Yeah, but the team sucked.
Oh, the team sucked. Yeah, but it was always just like,
it's hard to whenever you can't establish a fucking place to play.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier. Like, how good was Bennington? How good were his minor league numbers? And he comes up and he plays with like a more sound defensive team, and like his game gets better, like along with the team, of course. And so maybe like Husso just needs a more stable like defensive unit in front of him, like just to play better in general. Like maybe get out of the way so we can see some shots. So it's all
what you're working in front of you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because if you look at his numbers, Husso had like he had an 87 save percentage 2 years ago, and he went up this last year. He had a 909. So he's definitely seen some improvement there. But the team also got better, and he's playing more. So I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens when we give this kid a shot.
And thinking about it, maybe the amount of times that we're playing the same teams might benefit him just because of the familiarity of the shooters. You know, like it might be a little bit easier, or he'll get to study them just a little bit more. And as opposed to, you know, having so many different players getting shot at every night, I don't know, might help him with his development a little bit, but
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I didn't really think about that aspect though. That's a good point.
Let's get on the fashion front. What do you think about these reverse retros? How do you feel about them?
Bro, I actually just recently graduated with my master's in sports management.
Yeah.
So, like, doing a lot of research about colors and types of things like that, I've always wanted a little bit of red in our color scheme. To be honest,
you got
like,
your
I mean,
red.
No, you I got it. I got right. That's it. I got it. Yes, you're definitely right. I prefer just the retro ones, you know, which are the blue with a hint of red. Yeah. I think that one might be a little bit too red. There's definitely a handful of Blues jerseys that I think would have been pretty cool to go to, but in terms of what's gonna sell, you know, like because I fucking just saw K-pop wearing Boston Bruins jerseys, you know, and so it's like that was one thing that a lot of I saw, which made sense to me, is like the Loud jerseys are gonna be, you might be able to see those in like rap videos, you know, and just getting so much exposure. And people being like, oh, that jersey looks fucking sick. I want that. And so, like,
Anaheim Ducks reverse retro will be in a rap video. Mm-hmm. Play that for a fucking.
Oh, it's going to happen, you know? And so, like, and so it's, I'm not going to buy the jersey, you know? Like, I bought the Ryan O'Reilly All-Star jersey. Like, the moment it dropped, I had to get that one. Fair. I'm not going to do that with the red one, you know? But I get it, and I'm not going to complain about it.
Our boy Sammy K opened one up on Christmas Day.
And I was actually kind of a reverse retro hater.
He was.
And I opened it up and I was like, okay, this jersey slaps. This jersey slaps.
Because it has Ryan O'Reilly on the back of it.
It always fucking looks better whenever the boys are buzzing in them too. It's like, if they win in it, then like everybody's going to like it that much more. But if it's, you know, like they just get crushed in it, people are going to be like, it's the jerseys.
Yeah, if we go 0-3 in the first three times we wear the Jays, be like, ah, get rid of them. They're horrible. We lose every time.
I'm pretty sure our record has always been pretty good with all alternative jerseys, hasn't it?
I have no idea.
That interesting stat we'd have to find
out. If our alternates include white jerseys, I'm pretty sure we're good in white jerseys. Now, I don't want to sound like just like some Blues Twitter fan where it's like, oh, I mean, the jerseys or everything, you know, but I mean, it's gotta be something, right? I mean, it's gotta
be
a little bit of something.
You know? I love those circle ones, you know, which remember whenever they had like the ties like right here, it was kind of during the Shattenkirk era.
Oh, like the Navy jersey, you know, with like the arch.
Yeah, dude, I love, those were tight. I loved those alternate jerseys.
I didn't mind them. What was your favorite move this offseason that we pulled off?
In terms of just like, I don't know, not in like going gray, I like the Krug, but black and white, I like Hoffman.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying by that is, I mean, we all knew before like Pietrangelo signed in Vegas that he wasn't going to come here. You know, I mean, the way I always kind of looked at it is if you look at like fucking Erik Karlsson, he's getting paid $10 million a year. You want to put his stats next to Pietrangelo's over the last 2 years. I don't see why Pietrangelo couldn't be asking for way more money than we were willing to spend. And that's just the business, and there's nothing wrong with it. You know, he totally deserves it, especially whenever he's got, what, like three kids?
Yeah.
You know, like he's going to have to put all of them through college. He's going to have to get a home for them. I'm sure his wife isn't working. You know, like, and it's whenever you're signing an eight-year deal, if it's a $2 million difference, well, that's a $16 million difference. So, you know,
I go a long way.
Yeah, that's right. I can do a lot with $16
million. Yeah.
So, I respected it. I got that move. And the reason why I like the grayness in that one is because it was obvious that Doug Armstrong knew that too. And he went out and got the second best defenseman that was going to be available. You know, like that's pretty hard to argue. You know, it's like, what could he have done better? What could he have done differently? Well, really nothing. And he did the best that he could have. He did better than almost any GM, you know, other than the Vegas GM out there.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the black and white aspect of the Hoffman signing, just like the intangibles of making it work, you know, where it's like, hey, we're not going to have the money for you right now, but like we're an attractive enough team where it's like, if you want to kind of take on a little bit of a shot in the dark, you know, that's promised. But I think I saw somewhere where like he can still sign somewhere else, and so that's a little bit up in the air, but still to work it out and be like, nah, dude, like, and that's also credit to the Blues team, you know, to making it a desirable location for an agent or a free agent like Mike Hoffman to even think about coming to St. Louis. You know, like that was a pretty cool thing. And so for them to work out in a way where he's signing a professional tryout, but I mean, he's obviously not trying out and he's just going to sign like a $4.5 million deal the moment like the season starts, I thought was, you know, pretty cool management work from Doug Armstrong.
Yeah. Just the way like, that quote that Hoffman gave, I mean, I don't know word for word, obviously, but he said, like, just to have a chance to be a part of such, like a winning culture and organization, you know, like, that attests the team that you currently have and, like, the coaching staff and all the personnel and whatnot behind the scenes. But, I mean, that's really cool to hear some superstar talent like that think of your
team, dude,
that way.
And it's just such a win for St. Louis. Like, that's how it felt, too. You know, it's like, because I remember listening to Spit and Chicklets, and they're very black. They're so black and white, and I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Like, about where, you know, unrestricted free agents, where do you want to play? Where are they going to sign? And it's so obvious, and, like, you know, St. Louis is always kind of the, you know, it's got to be really sweet for them, or kind of like...
You got to have a family.
Right, basically, right. Like, you got to just be this feel-good guy, you know, to sign with us. And so to get somebody like Mike Hoffman, I feel like it's a little bit of a shift in reputation, in my opinion.
A little more superstar appeal that you could say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously it's not a perfect off season. You gave it a 7-3, right? So
yeah, 7-3, 7-8. Just depends how you look on it on the day. Yeah.
So if you had to pick a gripe out, your biggest one, what would you have changed about this off season? One thing.
Haven't done wrapped up. I feel like we should, I can't imagine what is going on with Vince Dunn that we can't have, you know, that solidified. Man,
you got to almost think at this point, like,
yeah, I
he
know.
Knows I mean, that like we don't think highly of him, clearly.
Of Vince?
Yeah, I mean,
I used to. I mean, it's just he.
No, I'm saying like the organization itself.
Oh, I feel.
I mean, they've let it get to this point.
Yeah. Fans love him.
Yeah, fans love him. I was like, yeah, I don't know about that one. But in terms of, like, the organization,
they've let it get to this point. I mean, it's like...
But I guess objectively speaking, like, I mean, he has... Like, there are times, like, I feel like he's... What, he is in the plus? But there are times where, like, he's just a very blatant liability.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's very, like, he's a very high ceiling, low floor player.
High risk.
Yeah.
Player. Yeah. Yeah. So and so that's kind of what I think it might be, where it's just like the Blues are just like munching on, like, hey, look at these mistakes. Look at this mistake. Look at that mistake. And he's just like, bro, like, look at my puck movement and my skating. Like, go find that somewhere else. Yeah. And so, like, they're just kind of having trouble meeting in the middle. I guess, I don't know. I'm talking as if I fucking know for sure. But
here's the thing. We pretty much got, after signing Torrey Krug, you have what you want Vince Dunn to be now with Torrey Krug. So,
which would be great for Vince. You know, you get to play another year or two, whatever Vince is here for, and you get to look up to Torrey Krug and kind of see, like, this is your stereotypical left-handed kind of smaller puck moving defenseman. Like, this could be me. Like, I could take those shoes if and when Torrey Krug ever leaves and if Dunn is somehow still around. But yeah. I mean, expansion,
I feel like the other thing too, though, would be like, do you really need two of the same players, especially whenever you've got Perunovic?
You got three of them.
Up.
You got Perunovic coming.
That's what I was like. You got Perunovic. I feel like he might be the one that needs a little bit more fostering than Vince Dunn, because I mean, he's had J-Bo, he's had Petro there for as long as he's been there. You know, like, if with Perunovic coming in, that's new blood. Krug is new blood. I feel like that might be a little bit of good mentorship there.
Because hey, Vince Dunn on 20 other rosters is a top four defenseman.
Yeah. And I honestly, though, I think what Vince Dunn might bring a lot of value to, and it's not even on the ice. It's just literally fucking fashion and sex appeal, dude.
Yeah. I mean, like missile.
Yeah, man. Like, whenever he's going, like, I can't imagine that he is not one of the facilitators in, like, the Blues' really fucking good times. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh,
I feel like
is.
He's a good locker room guy. Probably a little bit better.
Need
than
that
Perunovic.
Guy in the room. Look at him.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
And fucking look at Kyle Clifford. I mean, I love the guy. Oh,
I love that
guy. The style of play, but. Yeah,
Oscar Sundquist is it your guy that you're looking at that's a tract and everything? Yeah,
oh my
you need
god,
your Vince Dunn's.
You need your Vince Dunn's and Ryan O'Reilly's to even out your Kyle Clifford's and Oscar Sundquist.
But Ryan O'Reilly has a wife and a kid. You need the Vince Dunn's to get like
single guy
prospects. Them, you know,
Bobby Boards is off the market now too. Forgot about that, but still,
that's what I'm saying.
I love that side of the argument. That's great. That's a great point.
That often gets left, you know, that's a stone.
And people don't talk
often.
About that enough. They really don't. Yeah.
Well, it's important. Well, I think with this Blues team, man, it's important. Like, yeah,
important with every squad. You need a group. That you need the single guy group.
Right. And that was one thing I love talking about. It's like Craig Berube him facilitating going to the Roxy is like all you need to know about like the culture of that team. You know, where it's like, dude, you're gonna work hard. But like, hey, we're all gonna go out and have a good fucking time. Like that is so cool to me.
Absolutely.
Like as a team, you know. And so that's why I think, like, honestly, having a personality like Vince Dunn and like Tyler Bozak, you need them in the locker room.
Yeah. Sure. West Division, we get the short end of the stick travel wise. You know, late starts. How you feel about it? Obviously, we probably got the best division to play in terms of. Hey, you're getting a lot of bottom of the barrel teams, but we also got the travel and the late starts to deal with. Also.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I should know this. Is Chicago still in our division?
No,
but they suck. They suck, dude. Anyway, that doesn't really matter. No, I remember one thing I saw that I really.
It's all
really
the California
liked was,
teams. It's all the California teams: Vegas, Colorado,
Minnesota,
Arizona,
and Minnesota.
Yep.
Okay. I liked. The thing that I liked about it most was I feel like Colorado and the Blues are about to become a new rivalry.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be heated.
That's going to be fun, man. Like, Colorado's got some nastiness. The Blues for sure have, like, a lot of nastiness. And whenever you're playing, you know, like, how many games are they playing? Like, four or five times in a row?
Oh, dude. I don't know about times in a row, but, I mean, we're playing
everybody eight times, I think.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. And so it's just like, man, it's like I'm pretty sure I saw on the schedule that we're going to have like almost like a mini playoff series against Colorado. And so I was like, that's going to be fun and that's going to be entertaining. More so what I enjoy about like not necessarily just the Western Division, but the division setup is like the all Canadian team. I'm pretty excited to see how
Battle of Alberta, baby.
that's going to be fun. But I'm also really excited to see like Canadians kind of go like have like a hockey civil war.
Oh, yeah. Because
there's no longer like the American teams in there. There's no USA. Like, it's all them. So whoever finishes at the top is going to have some pretty big bragging rights in Canada.
And representing the country of Canada.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Who hasn't won a Stanley Cup in how many decades at this point?
This is going to be the closest they've got in a while. But the other thing, like James Duthie brought it up on Chicklets the other week, talking about how like throughout the entire year, Canadians are pretty much Leafs fans hate Habs fans, back and forth. This is going to take it to a whole nother level. You're playing a Canadian team every night. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. You mind if I ask you guys a question? Because I don't know if this is something you guys, it's kind of a little bit separate from the Blues, but how do you guys feel about people criticizing Cole Caulfield? The only reason I think about it because he's Canadian's first round draft pick. He's in the juniors. We kind of mentioned that earlier, and he's not playing well.
Yeah. He started to turn things up a little bit. I mean, the fact that he's playing with Matt Boldy and Matty Beniers, I believe, on that second line. That lineup's gross as a whole. I think he's got two or three goals so far this tournament.
So what I was mentioning is like the Canadian fan base, like, because I've seen people being
that's
like,
that's always going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't criticize him. He's only 18.
Yeah, exactly.
And like my take is like, dude, he signed with the Montreal Canadiens. Like, are you what adult role are you gonna find that has more responsibility than that?
Yeah, exactly. And with Cole, he's the fucking pretty sure he's the for the National Development Program. He's the leader in goals scored ever.
Yeah,
for the fucking National Development Program. Give the kid time. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's the epitome of a high risk, high reward kind of draft pick, which is kind of you got to imagine that's why he fell so much in the draft. I mean, did he really even quote unquote fall, like what was he, 17th pick or something? Like, it's probably like where he should have been, but like Marky said, give him some time, you know, like,
yeah,
dude, if he's
gonna end up being a goal scorer in the NHL, like that's
if he's 6 foot, he's a top five pick.
Oh, easily,
like,
easily,
that's all there is to it.
Well, that reminds me too, though. I mean, how about the fact that the Blues haven't had a top 10 draft pick in how long?
I couldn't even tell you what it is, but
Schwartz was probably the closest, he was 13.
Yeah, it's nuts. And like Doug Armstrong just keeps us so competitive.
Every year, man, he finds a way. He finds a way.
I guess
winning mentality.
That leads into kind of how we've wrapped up the last two guys we've talked to. One thing so if we go on and let's say we win the cup, what's the number one reason why, in your opinion? And on the flip side of that, let's say we missed the playoffs for some reason, or the season is a failure in your eyes. What is the number one reason going to be for that scenario as well? So kind of, you know, polar opposites.
I think it's going to be a lot of the same issues as whenever we brought on Tyler Bozak and Ryan O'Reilly. Who else came on with in that year?
Perron.
Pat Maroon and Perron. We're a good team. You know, like you look at the paper and you're like, those are all good players. But again, like we mentioned earlier, it's new, you know? And so I don't know how many other teams around the league are as new as the Blues, or how many teams in the Western Division are as new as the Blues again. I think one thing it's going to take, and I'm not worried about it, but I think what's going to end up making us get to the playoffs, now that I'm voicing it and thinking about it out loud, is everybody kind of copying and following Ryan O'Reilly's just pursuit. I mean, like, to be totally honest, man, like if with how skillful that team is, if everybody puts in 80% of the effort that Ryan O'Reilly puts on, I'm not really worried about how long the chemistry takes. You know, like, we'll get in, we'll get there, we'll be competitive. If it doesn't stick, honestly, I'm going to kind of probably look at goaltending. Just because, like, you know, like with some recency bias, you know, like Binnington didn't have the greatest playoffs. He definitely has proven that he's a great bounce back guy. But, you know, once you see, then we'll know. And then kind of what I mentioned earlier, too, where it's just like I haven't seen a whole lot of Ville Husso. I don't know a whole lot about him. And so then who knows, like if like Ville Husso isn't panning out, if our goaltending isn't panning out, maybe then we have to make a move to get like another backup goaltender, and that kind of puts things up in the air. So I'd say that what's going to get us there would be just, you know, everybody kind of copying the captain's work ethic. And then, you know, our goaltending just being as solid as it has proven to be in the playoffs and needs to be. That'll get us there. But if it, whatever's going to kind of break our back, I think would probably be, like I said, just maybe like some goaltending issues, because I'm not that worried about the duration of time that it takes for the chemistry to get there.
Yeah, it's just a lot of unknowns going into this year. It's definitely a new start of a new era.
It's a new team, that's for sure.
It is a new team.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no players last year that wore an A that are going to be wearing an A at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about. Wild.
Yeah.
Or C. Yeah, facts. But fuck, does it look good? Oh man.
Yep.
It does, man. I'm excited. I'm so excited to have a one-time shot. Like, yeah. I think like Perron's got that quick snapshot, but like I've been watching highlights of Hoffman, and dude, he's actually got a one-timer.
Oh,
and it's
like,
dude, it's DP, I don't know.
On the opposite sides of the power play, who do you pick? You pick your poison, bud.
Corey Krug's got options.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got the 90 as the bumper right in the middle of everything. Just picture perfect.
Who do you guys have being the like, what are the top two lines? Like, who's centering, like, the Hoffman, and, you know, who do you have with him?
Riley, probably.
Yeah, like
– I think he'll play with Perron and O'Reilly.
Yeah,
start.
Throw Hoffman up. Gross line. And then followed up, you have something to the likes of what do you boys think for a second?
Like, probably Schwartz, Thomas, and Shen.
Yeah.
Thomas, because, I mean, they want a bigger role for him, and while Vladdy's out, I mean, that's obviously the fit, in my opinion. So.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about, like, man, if a Thomas, a Robert Thomas and Hoffman line, just whoever you want to have
That'd
in there
fun.
With him, that would be so fun, man. Just Robert Thomas buzzing out there, making, like, unreal passes. Like, Mike Hoffman wouldn't have to move a muscle. Like, there's just so many times where I watch, like, Robert Thomas steal a puck or, like, make a pass. And just, like, that physically didn't look possible.
Yeah, he's a freak, man.
He worries about the little things, you could tell with Rob.
Yeah, he definitely does.
My guy.
Yeah.
And then the other one I liked and thought of was just, like, dude, Braden Schenn just being a bully and a huge, just, like, bulldog, like, in the middle of, like, the hash dot or, like, in the, like, right on top of the circle.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
With, like, Mike Hoffman buzzing around with that snapshot. That sounds like a nightmare, too.
Chief's got some fucking options as what he wants to do with lines, that's for sure.
Which means you got to produce, too, because if you're not producing, like, we got guys that'll take that role.
We got guys like Zach Sanford, I agree.
That's what I wanted to ask you guys, too. I was like, yeah, where does Zach Sanford fit in now? Like, what is...
He fits in right fucking here, all right? That's my, I don't know. It's my weird obsession with the Blues. I don't know why. I've always
loved Zach Sanford.
Everybody's a weird player, right? I mean,
Bobby Bortz. That's my
Sammy,
guy.
Sammy likes Patrick Kane. No, I'm just kidding. That's a perfectly normal obsession. Mark Scheifele, on the other hand, is a very weird obsession.
So is Jake Bean. So is Jake Bean.
Okay. Well, Jake Bean is goated NHL 14. Franchise player.
I'm starting to get kind of addicted to this Stutzel guy. I mean, Jesus.
He scored again while we were talking.
I know, man.
Hey,
it's insane. Like, yeah. I mean, it's just because it was true. Like, and Germany's lost, and I think they were playing somebody else. You're like, look, even with that loss, like, did you see anybody from any other team just hearing their name as much with, like, many opportunities, even if they lose? And it's just like,
yeah,
no.
Him and Zegras, man. Him and Zegras have been the talk of the tourney.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, dude, it's gonna be a fun season.
For sure.
I feel like the goaltending in these World Juniors has been a little underrated too. Because I think, like, Austria, they lost a game like 6-7, but the team that they lost to literally had 60 shots.
Dude, that kid faced like 130 shots in two games, and he had like an 89 save percentage.
Yeah,
he's
like the
good.
Stamina.
Yeah,
I was like, that is some athleticism.
That's for sure, bro.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
yeah, we gotta rip the rest of the show. So,
all right, sounds good. It was a pleasure talking to you guys. Hopefully, you can do it again.
Yeah, for
awesome.
Sure.
For sure.
Thanks for popping in, brother.
All right, guys, take it easy.
All right, peace, brother.
Peace out, dog.
Bye.
That's it.
We'll be right back.
All right. Obviously, we want to take the time again to thank all of our all the people for showing interest and wanting to hop on. We'll do more of these in the future. I think it's good to engage with fans, whether you agree or disagree with them. Other fans get their takes. Way easier to do this like this versus Twitter, obviously. Twitter's a joke.
Yep.
You never really know what's going on in terms of what's happening, how people feel. Are they sarcastic? Are they not? Who knows? So you get them in, chop it up, and obviously, you know, we had some fun doing this. I think our guy is Brandon. I think it's safe to say after that conversation, Brandon's our guy.
Yeah. He was beauty.
I like that guy, man.
Guy knew his shit, too.
Does Cole Moudra have competition with Brandon and Jared?
They're both electric.
Brandon's my guy.
Brandon's a legend.
Oh, my God. Cole did show up in a 1999 Super Bowl champions hat, though.
With the Bush latte.
He did
keep
have a Bush Light.
Fucking change on the St. Louis Rams to Super Bowl champions hat. Literally gas. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Overall, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, we definitely got to do that again.
Yeah, and moving forward, obviously, we want to churn these out on Thursdays. Obviously, with the condensed schedule, there's going to be a lot of games to talk about in a week. So
yeah, we're not going to
we'll
be bored.
Struggle for that. Every Thursday, we are on every podcasting platform you could want, in my opinion. If you can't find it, I'm sorry. It's a shitty podcasting platform. That's kind of where I'm at because I know how many we're on. And if you just can't find it on your podcasting platform,
pick it, everyone.
I don't want to be this guy, but I think it's time for you to look in the mirror, not us. It's like, oh, I fucking couldn't find it. It wasn't on, my fucking iPod Touch. It's like, look in the mirror, bud. Every Thursday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I take that back. You won't find it on SoundCloud because that's a host. See ya. And you know what? We're too classy for SoundCloud. If I'm being quite honest.
We really are.
We're over that.
Yeah,
we're not SoundCloud rappers or that kind of shit. That's what that. No, they can have SoundCloud. We don't need it.
Yeah, but we'll next week. We didn't really. I mean, obviously, in these conversations with these cats here, we give a little bit of our opinion. But next week, I believe, will be the last podcast before. Love hearing this. Before it'll be a. Next week will be like the 7th or something.
7th, I think.
Anyways, it'll be, you know, a few days into camp, but I want to say it'll be the last podcast before we have Blues hockey. Because we open Wednesday night. Oh, my God, boys, what do we do? 9:30 tilt? We drop on Thursdays? First games Wednesday night at 9:30. What is that? What do we do?
We booze.
I don't know how we handle that.
I don't either. Do we drop on a Friday for the first four games? Because, I mean, fuck else are we going to do?
We could do that. I mean,
so for the unique situation?
Yes, we may have to do that.
Because I'm not here for taking a week off. That's not happening.
No, that's a bad habit.
No, can't. Push it back.
I ain't doing it.
Quit asking.
Dash Nick Saban. We'll do our preview next week. Our personal previews, our picks in terms of obviously Blues-related stuff. I think we should do an in-depth prediction and preview show. And then we'll see where the hockey games and the news takes us. But for now, I think they'll do it. You guys got anything else?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have shit else. That was, it was a good time talking to the boys.
That was fun. New perspective.
Huh? Yeah. All right. Well,
new voices for you guys to listen to instead of just our ugly mugs.
Yeah, especially yours. Jesus fuck.
Off right now.
Dude.
That is somebody that will not make another appearance on this show. Book
our
it.
Sharks guy.
Joe Fordyce. God damn.
He's been featured quite a bit. I think he's been
on
like 3
times.
Yeah, well,
that's when they were good, so... It's when they were good, and these. You know, I actually hear a decent amount of love about the Sharks this year. I don't love it on these podcasts I listen to, especially up north in Canada. They, for some reason, think they're going to be okay.
Joe Fordyce has been on our podcast 3 times.
Why?
That can't happen. That can't happen. But at this point, we're just rambling. So let's get the fuck out of here. And see you next Thursday, obviously. And the ensuing 37 Thursdays after that. Can't stop.